The Burt Show.
Tyra Banks joining us on The Burt Show. How are you this morning?
I'm just great.
You know, in reading over your bio yesterday, I didn't realize how much you really kind of pioneered modeling.
Oh, God, that sounds scary.
Well, first African-American woman to grace the covers of GQ magazine, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and Victoria's Secret catalog.
Wow.
Yeah, good for Tyra Banks.
Yes.
That's a huge accomplishment. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is gracing the cover of the Sports Illustrated magazine, like, is that the crown jewel, do you think, in your career? Because, I mean, you constantly hear about the buzz of being on the cover of that magazine.
Yeah, I think it really did help a lot. I really think it made me, you know, everybody in America say, oh, who's that girl, you know.
I'm just kind of curious, when you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated, or the many covers, how many copies do you buy when you go out to get it?
You know, what you do is you ask for them to send you the boxes and boxes of
them. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's smart. That must be so cool, just like walking down the streets of New York and, you know, you're trying not to look at yourself on a magazine, but damn, there I am.
Yeah, exactly.
There I am.
That's got to be the coolest thing.
I think that's Tyra Banks, and I think she's walked past my newsstand 8 times.
For every you know, photo shoot that you got to do on, like, these exotic locations once you became Tyra Banks,
uh-huh.
Where are some of the places that you had to shoot that you're like, I got to get the hell out of here?
Anywhere with sand and water. I know that sounds crazy, but I hate shooting on a beach.
Really?
As many beaches as I've shot on, the sand just gets all in weird places. You have to change in a, you know, with a towel wrapped around you in front of everybody taking pictures of you, you know, like all these tourists and stuff. Taking pictures while you change. The sun is all bright and killing my eyes, and I have to look into the sun like it. Oh, I hate it.
Whenever they show, like, the Sports Illustrated shoot on ESPN, you know, when they show the video,
yeah.
There's always, like, one lucky smiling son of a SOB that has the water that has to spritz you guys down. That's his job. The spritzing guy.
Usually he's gay, though, so he don't care.
The gay spritzer.
How much upkeep does it take? What's your daily, like, regime? Like, what do you do that requires you to look the way you look and be the way you are? Because we think you're born that way, and we know you are. You're gorgeous, but there's got to be, like, exfoliating, all that stuff that we wouldn't do on a normal basis to keep
up. Well, I don't really do any of that stuff, like that that prep stuff. I don't really do, but I do sit in a hair and makeup chair for 3.5 hours.
I've always wondered to, like,
I don't get facials and all that stuff. I don't do that.
Do you supermodel, like, do you think you're beautiful? Like, when you look at yourself in the mirror without the makeup on and the hair and everything all done, do you go...
Without it?
Yeah, without it.
I know, when I look in the mirror, I look at myself as a palette. I look at myself as saying, you know I have the capability to be transformed into anything, but I don't look at myself when I'm all natural and say, ooh, girl, you fine. I don't do that.
What advice do you give young girls that are getting into modeling? Because, for every Tyra Banks, there are 5,000 little girls that, you know, think it's probably cool to drop out of school and pursue modeling.
Yeah, I tell them, you know, get your education first. I didn't drop out of school. I had a friend that dropped out, and she didn't really have much success. I did finish high school, and I applied to 4 colleges and got into every single one of them.
Good for you.
But I was discovered, and I didn't go to college. I went to Paris instead. But, you know, the advice I tell girls is that it's not just about beautiful. You know, that you might be the prettiest girl in school or college or whatever it may be, and then you go into a modeling agency and you get your feelings hurt. Because there's so many beautiful girls, but they're looking for that extra special something. They're looking for somebody that photographs spectacularly, and they're also looking for a personality. And just because you're beautiful doesn't mean that you photograph great, and just because you're not gorgeous doesn't mean that you won't take a good picture.
What were some of the rejection lines that Tyra Banks heard before you made it?
I heard that we already have enough black girls. We have somebody that looks just like you. Your lips are too big. Your nose is too soft. You know, all kind of stuff.
In a society where beauty for any woman is apparently priority on everybody's mind, how do you detach yourself from those criticisms and not let it get you down? Because that's got to be rough, where everywhere you go, somebody is pinpointing every single little flaw that they can that, you know, is seemingly ridiculous.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I talk to girls on my show about that, that this industry, you know, you can come into it with the highest self-esteem, but it can slowly break you down. you know, with people pointing out flaws that you didn't even know that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say it's a flaw?
Right.
But my mom taught me to look at myself as a product and to separate myself from the product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can, like, buff the product. You know, you can wash your face. You know, you can brush your teeth and floss and maybe get your teeth bleached or something. But, you know, your product is whatever it is. And if people aren't wanting that product, it doesn't mean they don't want you. It just means, you know, that that product is not really hot right now, and it's time to move on to something else. As opposed to saying, they don't want me, they don't want me. I don't see it as me. I see it as a separate entity from me.
We're going to talk to Tyra about her new television show in just one second. I have to ask you this question, though. What flaw do you have on your body that is airbrushed the most?
Dimples on my booty.
Booty dimples.
You know, cellulite on the backs of the thighs.
So,
dark circles underneath my eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my main ones.
So are there times where you're looking at pictures of you going, oh, my God, I can't believe they can hide that?
No, sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe they didn't retouch them.
Tell us about the new television show, because it has to do with all this stuff.
Yeah, I created this show, America's Next Top Model. It's a dramality. We follow them 24/7, similar to the show The Real World on MTV. And but there's, you know, an element of modeling. And I kind of guide them through this whole crazy modeling world. And, you know, after 8 weeks, the best girl is left standing, and so she's a star.
This is the kind of thing where a girl gets eliminated every week?
Yeah, every week a girl does get eliminated.
And this has been taped already, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's been taped. We already have our winner.
And did a lot of the issues that come up in the modeling world come up during the taping of this series?
I think most of the issues in the modeling world, I tried to keep this as close to the true modeling world as possible. And the drama came, you know, with the girls' personalities and, you know, catfighting and things like that. But in terms of the modeling world, it's really legitimate and true.
Tara, I got a question for you. I'm a little starstruck right now. Just letting you know. Do you actually, someone like yourself, like a big, successful model, do you actually watch The Real World?
I love that show.
Do you?
So what's your favorite season?
I like Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked...
Seattle?
No, I liked New York.
Oh, you didn't like Seattle?
Which one was Seattle? Was that when that guy bitch slapped that girl in the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one too. That was a good one.
See, Lindsay's asking because she was on that show.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, sorry. That's right. It's like, you never, whatever.
Well, use the real, if you're starstruck, use a real world card.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's cool because you compared your show, and I just think you are, I think you're the most gorgeous model out there.
Thank you.
And it's so wonderful to hear that you have so much personality and you're so well spoken and just incredible. You're a great role model. So, but it's funny to think that someone is cool as yourself would watch, you know, a show that
a reality TV
because
show.
We think that nobody listens to the radio show either.
Well, we've got the ratings to prove that.
Oh,
well,
yeah. So it's cool to find out that, you know, one of your role models does.
Oh, hell yeah, I watch The Real World.
Tyra Banks, the name of the show?
America's Next Top Model. It comes on Tuesday at 9 o'clock, 8 Central, and UPN.
We will be sure on Tuesday to remind people to watch it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Tyra. Bye now.
Bye.
See ya. Boy, she seemed cool.
She's really cool.
And
you talk about a great role model for your kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, the show, hopefully, like you said, if it's so close to the modeling world, that'll be good for young kids to watch and see what, you know, they really are getting into.
The Bird Show.
You know, here, since we, phone lines are down, we thought we would talk a little bit, give some people advice on what you can do to be sexy this weekend. You know, here's some top things you can do and not...
Does this go both ways with guys and women? Because with women, very easy to be sexy.
I think this is more geared toward women.
Okay, take some clothes off. Boom, sexy. Done. Let's move on.
Well, here are things. Well, let's flip it a little bit then. Let's talk about things not to do.
Okay.
These are things not to do if you want to be sexy. So, okay, if you want to be sexy, then there's Bert, number one. Only thing you have to do is take off your clothes. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying all of them. I'm
just
saying,
a little bit.
Just tease me a little bit. Show me a little midriff action. Bring the, the dink-dink up a little bit.
Right.
And the don't down a little bit.
Right.
And, yeah, that's sexy to a guy. It's over.
Now, I'm assuming, though, that if you had something that you could tell women not to do, I'm sure the list would be a little longer.
Sure.
Than just that.
Yeah, wear a lot of clothes.
And that's it. Okay, game over. All right, next. That's so,
for women, to be sexy, when you shave your legs, don't miss any spots, because I'm the biggest culprit of it all. When I shave my legs, I always miss like my ankles or like this spot right behind my knee, and it's skanky when a guy finally gets to that point.
Okay, let's run with that, because I've seen that before, where a woman has completely shaved her legs, but then right at the thigh she just stops doing that.
Yeah,
That's not right.
No,
you got to put in a little.
Oh, see, now that's the winter shave. You know,
oh, it totally
for women,
is.
That's just where, you know, if you're wearing pants and only like up to your half calf is going to show in the wintertime, that's that, you know, if that's all you got to shave, that's all you're going to shave. But here, okay, here's the top things not to do for a woman if you want to be sexy. Okay, number five, we got five of them.
All right.
Number five, flip your hair excessively. Don't flip your hair.
I got to be honest with you.
You like that?
I do like that because somebody told me a long time ago, if you're in a bar, right, and you are talking to a woman and she's starts playing with her hair or she starts flipping her hair, that's a subconscious sign that she's attracted to you. So you can do that as much as you want to me. I mean, make it look like you have a seizure. Give me a sign.
Oh my God, what's wrong with that girl's neck?
Well, here's another thing. Scratch your body. Like, don't scratch so much.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's a turn off. I guess that's for anybody, though.
Sure.
What are those little...
Scratching like a dog with fleas. I don't think that's sexy.
What are those body mites? Not crabs, but what are those body mites that... we always talk about them. What are they called, Jeff? They're like...
What is it that you get all the time?
Yeah, Jeff.
The body mites that we talk about all the time.
You know, we've talked about them before. Like scabies or something like that, but they're called something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't speak, Lindsay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, Jeff, you know, when you start picking at yourself, let us know what you're picking at.
Lyme
disease ticks?
No, not ticks. They're a body mites. So just don't scratch.
Now crabs?
We went over that already, Jeff.
Okay, moving on. Okay, that's not sexy. Talking about crabs and body mites and ringworm and that kind of thing
that's
is not sexy.
That's going to get you nowhere.
And something else, and this, I mean, this should be just understood. Pick your nose or your face.
Yeah, well, who would do that? I mean, who's
going to pick their nose? I mean, yeah. This is on my list. Pick your nose, number three. I think that is, but maybe there are people out there that pick their nose.
And it certainly isn't sexy.
Yeah, that's not sexy. Okay, eat food fast and furiously. I assume this is, well, this could be for guys and women. Uh-huh. But if you're trying to turn somebody on and you go to dinner, don't, like, gobble your food in two or three bites.
I'm guilty of this. I'm a way fast eater.
So am I.
It drives Jessica nuts because I'll be completely done with a meal in like 10 minutes and then she's still sitting there eating and I have to explain to her, don't feel bad. I'll sit and be patient. I just eat fast.
Yeah, Stacy likes the whole event, the whole going to, sitting down, the conversation, you know, chewing on every damn piece 60 or 70 times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is just to get me to the next meal. Let's move on.
I have to say that I'm a fast eater, too, and not least is always fussing at me. Because I'm like Jeff, I just will shovel food in, and she will take 2 hours to eat a sandwich.
I think it's, honestly, I think it's a radio thing. Because most people in radio eat fast because... If you think about it, I mean, if we have a sandwich in here, when do we get to eat it? Either when 4 minutes of commercials are playing or a 4 minute song is playing.
Get it down.
And you have to, and you just like, and everybody that we know, Jessica and I know that work in radio are fast talkers and fast eaters.
I never thought of that. Yeah. Maybe that's
I don't know that everybody is a fast talker.
Okay. I think she just launched Scud at you.
Whether it hit or not, I don't know. All right. And the number one thing on my list of things not to do if you want to be sexy is bite your nails.
Bite your nails.
I do all that.
I have to say that, you know, everybody has a thing that that is an automatic turnoff of somebody, like a physical attribute, you know, or things they look at. And hands are a big thing for me. And I know Lindsay said the same thing, that hands are turn on or turn off for me. If you have bad hands, then that is an automatic turn off. And one of the things if your nails are like just ragged and, you know, look like a mountaintop where mm-hmm. it's just all kinds of, you know, ragged and point and everything where you've been biting. That is just, I think that is so unattractive.
If the phones weren't working, I would love to ask this question because for a guy, it is so easy to look at a woman and for a woman to make herself sexy. But I have never really got any concrete answers on what can make a guy physically sexy.
So email us.
I guess you can email us.
Right.
Like, what can a guy do? Like, honestly, a woman, if you show your stomach, guys think that's sexy.
Okay.
That's easy to do. Show me some shoulder.
That
easy.
Depends.
That's sexy.
That depends.
Well, for the most
part. If you got the stomach that's worth showing.
Right.
But I mean, know when to cover.
Now, of course, I'm you know, not sexually attracted to men, but I do have to say that one thing that I notice, and you know, my straight friends who really notice, like the guys that, and it kind of goes the same way, like if you're built, if you're a guy, like you don't want to show too much. You don't want to do that cut off shirt thing, which is nasty and redneck. But like, like last night I was at a Red Chair event, and there was this one guy who was actually from David Magazine, so give him kudos. He had this black shirt on that was nice fit shirt that showed his definition, but it wasn't too tight.
Right.
It wasn't too loose. It was just enough to where anyone could take a look at his physique and see that he was really built.
Okay.
I think that is sexy.
Melissa brings up a great point, because it is with guys. It's more about just give us a sneak peek. We don't need to see, you know, a mesh shirt per se. You know what I mean? So we can see everything underneath. But like if you have like a long sleeve, you know, like a button down shirt, wear it without regardless of your chest hair, because chest hair is sexy too, unless it's like a bush garden's growing out of your chest. You know what I mean?
We've seen that picture.
Well, but I think more guys.
I saw some guy.
You know what? Maybe we should talk about that right now.
I saw some guy walking through Phipps Plaza on Sunday, and I mean, this guy, seriously, if a kitten jumped on his chest to take a nap, disappear.
I got a picture last week. I think, you know, a listener just wanted to send an email, and I got an email last week that is a guy that is laying on his stomach. He's in a hotel room, it looks like. And he is booty naked. And he is the hairiest human being that I have ever seen in my life. And it is so disgusting that I could not look away. It was that bad. And I showed Melissa, I showed Lindsay, I showed Jeff. Is it not the most disgusting picture you've ever seen in your life?
Burned into retinas.
Yeah.
I mean, this poor guy. I mean,
he's like Velcro.
Oh, but there's like one spot on this person's back that has no hair.
But see, I'm fascinated by the fact, because again, it is a picture where he is naked, and that, you know, even the cheeks, even his butt cheeks, as hairy as his chest and his back.
It's true.
Fascinating. It's true. Fascinating.
I want to share this picture online, but we'd have to put like one of those convenient little red dots over the booty, because he does have some junk hanging down and stuff. It's all, it looks like a chia pet, kind of.
Yeah.
But it's the most disgusting picture I've ever seen, yet so intriguing.
You can't stop.
You can't stop looking at it.
Picture yourself giving him a back wax and putting those sheets on and just pulling.
Yeah, I don't.
I just can imagine the, you know, people like the company of Drano or those similar companies making a lot of money off him and whoever's in his household, because he clogs the drain every time he takes a shower.
And some women find that really, really attractive.
No, they don't.
Really.
Some women
guys.
And some men find that very, very attractive.
The hairier, the better.
Yeah. Really?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can say this with being very decent, because it's E25. They look like down their hairs. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, all over their body.
Yeah, all over, everywhere.
I'd love to find a woman that...
See
if the phone lines are still down.
If you're a hairy woman, call up.
No, that you will find women that love hairy guys. The hairier, the better.
It's kind of like snuggling with a big teddy bear, I guess.
Hey, it's a good place. It's a good thing for soaking up crumbs. Like, you know.
It's nasty.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, from inside the studio, it says to us that there are no phone lines lit up right now, yet when I call, we get a busy signal, so the phone lines are still down. What's that?
No, not that. I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to say that, hey, everybody has their own thing, whatever floats your boat.
You don't like hair on a woman at all?
No, I got to be honest with you. And if I could, I'd shave off every strand of hair I have. I hate hair.
You are a furry little thing.
I know, I hate
you're like a,
hair.
You know what you are? You're our very own little Ewok from Star Wars.
Well, Jeff's called
Ewok.
Jeff calls me a frugal.
A frugal.
Well, you're a frugal as well. We've been to lunch together.
The Burt Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Mikey, and this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It is the holiday season, the best time of year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making good decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there's one place where it feels good to be right, Prize Picks. A year ago, I couldn't even tell you what first down was. That was until my friends convinced me to start using Prize Picks. Now we get together every Sunday to discuss our lineups. It's so exciting, and it makes the game so much more fun. Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast and secure. Prize Picks accepts most major payment methods, making deposits into your account quick and easy this sports season. Get in on the action. Prize Picks is now available in 45 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code BERTSHOW to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code BERTSHOW to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
These smear campaigns must be productive because, yeah. I mean, in each and every election, I mean, if they weren't productive, then the candidates wouldn't just bash each other the way they do, right?
Yeah, I mean, people must respond to that because every election, somebody's smearing, mudslinging, everybody complains about it, then the election's over, and then we'll never do this again. And then the next election, everybody smears each other, people complain. I mean, it's just... It obviously must get people to the polls or make you remember stuff.
All I got out of it is Mark Taylor's really jealous of Sonny Perdue's land. That's what I see. Boy, he does not. You know how when you, like a kid in school, got like a new backpack, everybody talked about it. Mark hasn't stopped talking about Sonny's farm.
But it definitely plants that seed of doubt in your mind. You know, like it definitely works. It's definitely like, wait a minute. Is he getting rich off of policy? Wait a second. Mm-hmm. You know, it definitely makes you think about it.
Well, I do think that most people, the extent of their research on any one of the candidates is probably what they see on television.
Sure. Right.
You just happen to be watching television, and one of these commercials come on. You take it for face value. It must be fact. So mm-hmm. it starts to form your opinion about the candidate.
There's also a good chunk of people who feel obligated to vote, even if they're not educated completely on the what are they just think what you know it that you know they think we live in a democracy where everyone is required to vote for every single election, so even if they're not educated, they're like, oh, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna vote, you know, so
just totally setting the country back.
If I was that person, like, I would be scared of that guy Tommy Irvin doesn't like. And I know nothing about him, but that, that guy is like fox guarding the hen house. And I have no idea. I mean, it's the Commissioner of Agriculture. I couldn't even tell you what he does. Like, to me, he's just the most important farmer. Like, I don't know what he... Like,
what does he have to be angry about?
What policy he administers, what laws he... advocates or challenges.
Spinach. That's what he has to be worried about.
Yeah. E. coli. Poop on my lettuce. That's his concern, right? But all I know is that the guy who's running against Tommy Irvin is not liked by Tommy Irvin. And they have a little animated chicken and a little animated fox. And he's got his faces on the fox. And that's a fox guarding the hen house.
I'm just curious if when you go to the polls today and you see both of their names, would you publicly tell us who you're going to vote for in that race?
I wouldn't vote in that.
You wouldn't?
I don't. If I'm not, you know, but if I don't at least have an awareness of it, I don't vote. But there's a, like,
good for
what I'm
you.
Saying is, like, I think my parents, where like election day was always a big thing for my parents and whatever, like, they wouldn't even tell each other who they voted for. They would never tell me. If they did tell me, I was not allowed to discuss it. For some reason, in the Dollar household, you didn't talk about who you voted for, or if you got something new in the house, you didn't tell any of the neighbors. Don't tell any of the neighbors we got a new TV set.
Parents are eccentric, man.
We got ourselves.
Total eccentric.
We got a brand new console Zenith. We don't want anybody thinking we're all fancy.
I really do envision like your childhood home just having like stacks of newspapers that you guys had to like sort of jimmy your way through to get from room to room.
I don't think it was newspapers.
Then a random gnome in the corner.
I think it was the boxes of all the stuff that we bought that we weren't allowed to put out to the curb because then the Gasparinis and the Watsons would think that we're fancy.
I imagine you guys had like those old antique lamps on every table that has like the copper bottom and the lamp goes like this.
We had a lot of wood carved stuff that was mediocre wood carved stuff because my dad imagined himself crafty. So there was a lot of
whittled on the front porch.
Very symmetrical wood carving type things, like bookends that were exactly identical that he, you know.
Did he display his ball caps? Was he a ball cap guy?
Because
there's a lot of men who find pride in their
ball caps.
Melissa,
not only did he display them.
Oh, did he put them in plastic?
Nope. He sawed off a broom handle, hung them all end to end, then fastened wires to the broom handle to hang them from the ceiling of the entryway.
There you go.
Should he want a ball cap, one little twist of the thumb.
It's almost like they went hunting and they found a ball cap and they're going to hang it.
I imagine Jeff's house to look like the house in A Christmas Story with the leg lamp.
Right.
All the 1965, 70 furniture in it, and orange lighting.
Right.
And then my dad like has ball caps. Obviously, working in radio, we're privy to a lot of things like ball caps, T-shirts, sweatshirts, promotional items. So I, for a while, would send those to them until I actually became concerned that there would be no room for them in the house. That it would just be ball caps and T-shirts. And at my 10, what year is it? 06. So 15 years ago, I was the night jock at B104 in Syracuse. I think y'all heard some air checks from the sister station, Y94 FM. So I got like half a dozen B104 T-shirts. Jim still wears them.
Does he really?
All the radio stations since then, all the free stuff since then, Braves things. I think I sent him John Smoltz's uniform, and he still wears a B104 voice.
Is that right?
T-shirt.
Cute.
That's the most comfortable T-shirt. Well, of course it's comfortable. You've been wearing it for 15 years. It's about as thin as newsprint.
So that's why we decided to do a smear campaign. Right.
Oh, yeah. So as I was saying, my parents would never tell anyone who they voted for.
Because
but they felt obligated to vote in every election. And I think if I was one of those people, then I would probably vote for that Tommy Irvin guy.
Absolutely. Right. Whoever's doing the most smearing, that's exactly it. Now, we'll talk more about like your responsibility as a voter or not going if you're not educated as a voter later on today. But as far as right now goes, we put together our smear campaigns for each other, and we all drew names.
Yeah, we decided that instead of all four of us trying to smear the other three, that'd be too complicated, so we just paired off. And so we drew names, like Bert said. Bert and I are acting as if we're running against each other in some mock election, and then Jen and Jeff are doing the same.
So these are the commercials that we would be running against each other if we were running against each other in elections on the radio. All right, I'll start off. This was my smear campaign against Melissa Carter. Okay. These are the reasons why you do not want to vote for Melissa Carter.
All right.
When going to the polls today, don't you think Georgia needs a solid leader? A leader that is in touch with our state's present-day problems. Melissa Carter is obviously not that leader.
I'm stuck in the 80s.
What Georgia needs is a director that respects both men and women equally. Is Melissa Carter this director?
Women are dumb.
Georgia needs a compassionate compass to guide our children into a secure future. Is Melissa Carter really our children's future?
I make children cry.
How can we be sure of Georgia's future when Melissa Carter isn't even sure of her own future?
My best childbearing years are leaving me.
And sadly, if elected, is Melissa Carter healthy enough to fulfill her commitment to Georgia?
I don't have enough bile in my food.
Melissa Carter, not now, not ever, not the right choice. Paid for by anybody but Melissa Carter campaign.
There you go. You shouldn't vote for Melissa.
I'm so worried about that bile issue.
We're all a little worried about your bile issue. All right, your turn?
My turn. I mean, similar to Burr, but I actually created the office as if it was the Secretary of Education for Georgia.
When it comes to the future of Atlanta, good, solid leadership is what our children need. You want a Secretary of Education for the state of Georgia that is willing to act, but Burt Weiss does not. The A in AG stands for achievement. What about Burt Weiss?
Most people would tell you that they have a child that poops in some random part of their house. For me, it was the garage.
The C in AG stands for compassion. What about Burt Weiss?
I take his hand and I put it into the pumpkin, and I put some of the ookie gookie stuff on his hands. He gags and then throws up.
And the T in AG stands for tradition. What about Burt Weiss?
We're going to do something a little bit different at our house for Halloween. Not doing candy this year.
You have a bucket of flashlights.
Do you really want Burt Weiss in charge of educating your children? Think about that when you go to the polls today.
Paid for by the committee to elect Melissa Carter, Secretary of Education.
Very good. All right, in our second election, it is Jen Hobby against Jeff Dollar. Jen?
Well, I didn't have Big Voice Guy do mine. Now I feel all left out. I should have had him at least voice a disclaimer. But here is my smear campaign against Jeff Dollar, who is running for some sort of political office.
Yeah, I just made mine generic, too.
Just a random political office.
Can you trust a candidate with an admitted addiction? Can you trust a candidate who pays more attention to his first love than his wife? Can you really trust a candidate for political office who cannot complete or focus on one conversation without interruption? If you answered no to any of these questions, then you cannot trust nor vote for Jeff Dollar. Jeff's admitted addiction to his BlackBerry is his first priority, shirking his responsibility to his wife as his first love, making him unable to complete a conversation without looking away to use his quick thumbs. How can he ever reach out to the public without ever actually having a conversation, talking on the phone, or giving an actual speech? If you can handle a text-only relationship with your political leader, then fine. But don't expect anything more from Jeff Dollar. A crackberry is and always will be number one on the Jeffy Do list.
You could have used Jessica also because she came in here one day complaining about it also. So even your own family is turning against you.
Turning against like the Mary Perdue campaign.
Right. All right. So yours is against Jen and it is no particular campaign office.
I didn't really make an office. It's just got a generic. It's a state office. Okay. And you know what we forgot is they all have to start with, I'm Jeff Dollar, and I approve this message.
I want someone that knows success and knows victory.
I want someone who is going to be thinking of me and my needs.
I want someone who understands what responsibility really means.
I don't want Jen Hobby.
Jen Hobby doesn't know what it means to succeed. She doesn't know victory. Her Marietta Blue Devils only have 4 wins in the season since her involvement. It's sad and pathetic. Nobody wants her curse brought upon this whole state. Jen Hobby doesn't think of your needs. She only thinks of herself. I want to have babies, she cries. I don't want anyone to be mad at me, she declares. What if we want to be mad at her? Then that should be our right. An independent auditor has proved that even though she says she wants us to save money buying jewelry, she really doesn't care. Jen Hobby doesn't know how to be responsible. She killed her Tamagotchi pet after only 5 days and lost it for 12 hours during that time. She's a drunk and sexual deviant. Her Jenny Do list consists of movie stars and athletes. Her lifestyle is not conducive to a feeling of family.
I remember hearing her cuss in front of a whole group of Bert's Big Adventure kids. It was really, really bad. Ever since then, I knew I didn't want Jen Hobby representing me anywhere.
Don't learn the hard way what those that know her already know. On Election Day, let your voice be heard.
I don't want Jen Hobby.
Paid for by citizens of every city except Hobbyville.
Very good. And all the facts in there are absolutely accurate, too. The cussing in front of the BBA kids, accurate.
Oh, I don't know about the sexual deviant part, though. Come on now.
You cut your underwear off with scissors yesterday.
Good smear campaign.
I think that makes you a little deviant.
Good smear campaign. Just twist the facts a little bit. I don't know.
The Burt Show.